When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Skims or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and great marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. It's home of Shop Pay, the number one checkout in the world. You can use it to boost conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going through to checkout. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Allbirds uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/income.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Lindsay and Jason Lee. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Lindsay Nicole Lee was born on September 19, 1985, in Searcy, Arkansas. Her father, Stephen, was in the military, so the family moved around quite a bit. They moved to California in 1987 and to Germany in 1994. Growing up, Lindsay consumed excessive quantities of food and gained a substantial amount of weight. This is a problem that persisted for many years. By 2003, the family lived in South Carolina, and Lindsay found work at a bank. In 2008, a locksmith named Jason Don Lee visited the bank to work on the vault and met Lindsay in the process. They became romantically involved, and on September 25, 2010, they married. The couple lived together in a 1,600-square-foot three-bedroom house on Haleywood Lane in West Columbia, South Carolina. In 2011, Lindsay started working as an IT specialist for the Lexington County Sheriff's Department. She continued to gain weight during her time there. By 2014, she was described as very large. Her husband, Jason, was also pretty heavy. He decided to go to a gym to lose the excess weight. He really enjoyed the gym and encouraged Lindsay to accompany him. In early 2015, she agreed. Lindsay wasn't too enthusiastic at first, but fell in love with exercise. It made her feel good about herself, and she was excited about the possibility of losing weight. Not long after this, both Lindsay and Jason started studying judo in addition to their regular exercise. By March 2016, Lindsay had lost over 100 pounds. She was in great physical condition, competed in judo tournaments, and had adopted an attitude focused on fitness. The transformation she obtained was so dramatic, the gym even featured her in a before-after advertisement. As Lindsay continued to have success, Jason was losing interest in the vigorous exercise lifestyle. He stopped going to the gym altogether. This wasn't the only interest the couple no longer shared. There was also a disconnect about having children. When they married, they planned on having children, but now Lindsay rejected the idea. In April 2016, Lindsay told Jason their marriage was over, and the couple separated. Jason moved into an apartment on Grandview Avenue in Simpsonville, which is 88 miles northwest of West Columbia. He started a new job and found a new lover. Lindsay continued living in the house in West Columbia. Jason told her that she could have the house. When she heard this, Lindsay decided to sell it. In a desperate effort to win her back, Jason ran up $5,000 in debt to remodel Lindsay's bathroom to facilitate the sale. Not surprisingly, this plumbing-powered plea for permanence pancaked, and Lindsay prioritized personal progress over partnership. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On Tuesday, March 14, 2017, just 5 weeks before the divorce between Lindsay and Jason Lee was scheduled to be finalized, Lindsay failed to show up to work at the sheriff's department. They sent a deputy to check on her. Upon arrival, he noticed that the back door of Lindsay's house was ajar and had sustained damage. He called for another deputy, and they entered the residence together at about 10 a.m. Near the front door, they found groceries on the floor. In the bathroom, they heard water running. After pulling back the shower curtain, they saw 31-year-old Lindsay dead in the bathtub. An autopsy revealed that she died from blood loss due to her throat being cut, but she had also been strangled. During the investigation, the police figured out that Lindsay had been killed on Monday, March 13, 2017, the day before her body was discovered. She had been ambushed as she entered her front door at about 8:30 p.m. The obvious suspect in the murder was Lindsay's estranged husband, Jason Lee. The police went to talk to him. Here is the story that he provided. On Monday evening, his foot was hurting because he injured it at work. Jason took pain medication, watched television, and went to sleep. When he woke up on Tuesday, he discovered that his car was missing. It was a blue Kia Rio. Jason was behind on the payments, so he assumed his vehicle had been repossessed. The police found Jason's car in a Walmart parking lot not far from his apartment. Someone had parked the vehicle there at 5:17 a.m. on Tuesday, less than 5 hours before Lindsay's body was discovered. The person who left it there could be seen walking through several parking lots in the direction of Jason's apartment. A short time later, Jason could be seen driving his work van to the Walmart and parking right next to the Kia Rio. 4 minutes later, he drove the van closer to the front entrance of Walmart, entered the store, purchased several items, and left. Jason Lee was arrested on March 17, 2017. On November 22, 2019, he was found guilty of murder and first-degree burglary. His sentence was a term of life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now moving to my analysis. Jason Lee maintains his innocence. At his sentencing, he said to the judge, quote, "I am innocent, and I did not kill Lindsay Lee. I will be appealing my case, and I don't care if it takes 20 years. I will prove my innocence," unquote. Fortunately for Jason, he received a life sentence, so the required 20 years will be readily available to him. The state, of course, disagrees with Jason's proclamation of innocence. They argue the evidence points squarely at him as Lindsay's killer. This brings me to the question, is Jason Lee guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that he is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. Lindsay romantically rejected Jason and disregarded his bathroom remodeling facilitated reconciliation attempt. She was done with him, and Jason knew they would never be together again. Jason was upset that Lindsay was going to receive $30,000 to $50,000 for the sale of her house, even though Jason told her she could keep the house. At the time of the murder, Jason was experiencing severe financial problems. For example, he was being evicted from his apartment, he was behind on car payments, the credit limit on his credit card had been exceeded, his checking account contained only $100, and he owed Lindsay $1,300 and only had about 2 weeks to pay it. He allegedly told a coworker that Lindsay was going to put him in jail if he failed to pay. When Lindsay died, she and Jason were still technically married. The divorce was not going to be finalized for about 5 weeks. This meant that Jason would get the house and the rest of Lindsay's assets. It appears as though Jason was aware of this. On the day Lindsay's body was found, he allegedly told his girlfriend that his financial issues were over and he was going to get the house. The murder of Lindsay was brutal, as if the killer was driven by intense feelings of rage. Nothing was stolen from Lindsay's house. Lindsay's jacket, which she was wearing the last time she was seen, was found in her washing machine. It was still wet, and her wallet was in the pocket. If a stranger had killed her, why would they clean her jacket, and why didn't they steal the wallet? When Jason was confronted by the police after the murder, he lied about what happened to his Kia Rio, saying it had been stolen. In reality, he had driven the vehicle to a Walmart and left it there. Investigators noticed that Jason had several scratches on his face. He told his coworkers the scratches were caused by his cat, but he told the police he cut himself shaving. The police examined electronic evidence and discovered that, for about 12 hours around the time of the murder, Jason's cell phone had been deactivated and he was not wearing his Fitbit. This was a substantial deviation from his typical pattern. Jason regularly used his phone and he wore his Fitbit pretty much all the time, even when he was sleeping. There had never been a 12-hour gap in his entire history of owning the Fitbit. Jason deleted his internet browsing history from his phone. The police were able to recover his searches anyway. He searched for defense attorneys, the listing of Lindsay's house, and information about her murder. Marijuana was found in Lindsay's vehicle, which was parked in her driveway. Jason's DNA was on the back. This makes it seem like Jason planted the marijuana. Three pieces of blue latex glove were found just inside the front door of Lindsay's house. The pieces contained her DNA, as well as Jason's. In Jason's apartment, the police found a backpack containing a package of blue latex gloves. The gloves were consistent with the pieces of glove recovered from Lindsay's house. Now moving to the exculpatory factors. There were no witnesses to the murder and no video. Jason had once lived in Lindsay's house, so it stands to reason that his DNA would have been on various items in the house, including the pieces of the latex glove. It's possible that an intruder killed Lindsay. For instance, there was forced entry into her house. Jason may have had a key to the house, and he was a locksmith. There was no need for him to break anything to make entry. As I mentioned, the killer had placed Lindsay's jacket in her washing machine. Jason's DNA was not found on the washing machine controls. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Jason Lee is guilty? Yes. In my opinion, he is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. At the beginning of their marriage, Jason and Lindsay were both described as impulsive, lazy, messy, disorganized, and unmotivated. The house they shared was a mess, and their spending habits were atrocious. They accepted the fact that they were overweight and had no plans of addressing that issue. During their marriage, Jason's weight was fairly stable, but Lindsay gained a substantial amount of weight. Jason was frustrated by the situation and decided to go to a gym. He wanted Lindsay to join him, which she eventually did. At first, Jason was thrilled that Lindsay not only went to the gym, but she loved exercising. Indirectly, Jason's dissatisfaction with Lindsay's weight caused a problem for him. As Lindsay became more physically fit, she viewed herself as more attractive than Jason. They were now mismatched, and all of a sudden, Lindsay had a lot of romantic interest from other men. This was something new for her. It had never happened at any point during her life. The attention was intoxicating, like a drug, and Lindsay could not let it go. Jason was concerned about this and was worried that Lindsay was being unfaithful. When Jason gave up on going to the gym, the disparity between he and his wife grew even more. She had become industrious, hardworking, laser-focused, and determined. There was no longer room for someone lazy like Jason in her life. She dropped over 100 pounds. Why not drop a couple hundred more? The rejection that Lindsay delivered to Jason was brutal, and he may have viewed it as condescending. Even so, Jason wanted to reconcile with Lindsay. He even told her that she could keep the house, and he remodeled her bathroom to increase the sale value. This was a tactic to win her back, but his effort was unsuccessful. When Jason realized that a reconciliation would never happen, he took stock of his situation and was not happy about what he discovered. Lindsay would soon have tens of thousands of dollars coming her way from the sale of the house, whereas Jason was financially destitute. Furthermore, he had lost the love of his life. With the finalization of the divorce just 5 weeks away, Jason decided that homicide would solve his problems. It would grant him revenge against Lindsay for rejecting him, and he would inherit her assets. Jason carried out the murder with the intention of escaping responsibility, but the laziness and impulsivity, which had plagued him for so many years, caught up with him. He left too much evidence behind, making it comically obvious that he was Lindsay's killer. Now moving to my final thoughts. In the world of romance, including marriage, people often stay together for years through many major life changes. Sometimes, however, the changes create a perceived disparity between the couple. For example, one of them becoming wealthy, earning a college degree, or becoming physically fit. Some people view marriage through the lens of economics. That is, they want to ensure the partner they have is the best partner they could get based on their own value. They want their partner to be on the same level as them when it comes to attractiveness and desirability. When a disparity is created by one spouse making a significant and positive change, the marriage may be reevaluated. I think that is what may have happened in the case of Jason and Lindsay Lee. Lindsay did not just lose weight, she lost the shared identity that helped preserve her marriage. As she became lighter, the marriage became heavier. The lesson learned in this case is that all changes made by a spouse can threaten a marriage, not just the negative ones. Sometimes what people interpret as stability is really just laziness. If the laziness disappears, the stability does as well. Those are my thoughts on the case of Lindsay and Jason Lee. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon. Just a reminder that I have a heavy collection of pre-release videos on my Patreon account. These videos are of the same quality as the videos I release to the public. When I put a video in pre-release status, it usually stays that way for several months, if not a year. I will put the link to Patreon in the description for this video.